Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to just be here this morning. Father, I ask that you will take all the distractions and remove them so that your Spirit can move and work through your Word. And I pray that I might not be a distraction to those that are here, that I might just be a vessel for your glory, that which you have helped me put together in this format will definitely be clear and helpful to those who are hearing today. Father, I ask that you again will help us to understand your passion and help us to understand how our purpose of living for you can help fulfill that. We thank you again for Caleb and his desire with all the abilities and all that you've equipped him to do. He does not want to spend that on himself. He wants to spend that upon you. And we thank you for that wonderful testimony, and I ask the Lord that you will challenge us today with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we apply each of these purposes? Purpose number one, if you may recall, if you were with us, or if you've been reading through the book of the Purpose-Driven Life, you'll remember that purpose number one talks about that relationship that we have for God, to worship Him as a friend, being able to connect with Him in that particular way. I call that believing in Christ, worshiping the truth. John chapter 15, and as a way of reviewing that chapter, is the time Jesus, just before the time when he would go to the cross, met with his disciples, encouraging them that he was leaving them. "Don't worry," he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he encourages them that he has a plan for them, and he says, in order for you to be successful, you need to abide in me. You need to have a relationship with me, not as servants, not as disciples, but as friends. He talks about this earnest relationship. And as we look at and review, we find that in verse 14, he talks about the commitment. He says, if you're my friends, you'll do what I've commanded you. If you're my friends, you will be on track with doing that which I've talked to you about. You will obey. He talked about the element of communion. He says, the servant doesn't know what the master's plan is. He just does. But the friends are let in on what the plan is. And this is the exciting thing about us as believers, as we have the scriptures here, that God has said that He has a plan and He's willing to let us in on it, that we might not only be willing to do, but we know why. We know what His plan is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has a plan, and He's desirous to let us know. He keeps His friends informed. And the third thing we looked at under purpose number one was the commission. He says, you will go and you will bear fruit. If you abide in me, you keep this friendship and this relationship open, if you continue to pray and continue to dwell in the Word of God, you continue to keep those lines of communication with God open, you will have a commission to go. And he says that friends will bear fruit. Your life will have fruit. And as we summarize this truth and try to apply it to the target God has, we have this statement. Our friendship, faith, adoration, worship, all those words that describe that relationship we have with Him, with God, provides the basis for our mission. This is the basis of why we can go to the world and teach them about Jesus Christ, is because we can have a personal relationship with Him, that we can actually worship Him outside of this building and have a life that is reflective of what's going on in His life. And it becomes the truth. When Jesus was talking with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she was wondering which is the right way to worship, He says, those who worship Him must worship God in spirit and in truth. And God has given us the truth. That of all the individuals that are going out and trying to bring their gospel, whatever it might be, believers, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, have the truth. We have the truth to be able to share with each other, with others, and that's what helps us make the target that God has of reaching the world with the gospel. The second purpose we looked at was that of the purpose of belonging to Christ, working together. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, if you have your scriptures, you can turn there, but I'll read it for us. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says this, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. What God is explaining here is the fact that we are not individuals. We are a unit working together called the body. And just as the body of our physical body, as it's used as the analogy, has many parts and cannot function properly without the various parts doing their thing, God has said that the spiritual body has that importance of working together. And we looked at four eyes under this. We looked at the identity that I belong. We looked at the interdependence that I have a place. We looked at the improvement that I can benefit. And we looked at the impact that I can contribute. And we're talking about the elements of how God uses the body to be able to accomplish that which He needs to be shared with other individuals. Research has been done that says that the average individual who places their faith in Christ has connections of at least 7 different types of people or different touches to help them come to the point of accepting Christ as a personal Savior. I don't know if you can prove that in this room if we went around with a microphone and say, talk about all the different things that led up to your accepting Christ as your Savior. But I can give you my testimony, and it doesn't come out to 7.6, but it does come out to a few people more than I thought when I go through it. When I was at the Bible camp and was listening to the speaker talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how that He could be my Father and that I could have the opportunity to be called one of His children through a faith in Jesus Christ, I could easily say that's the person God used for me to come to know Christ. But then I'd also have to remember that there was a counselor that met with me after the message, and I sat with him and he went over scriptures with me and talked with me about the importance of applying these scriptures to my life and realizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin and paid the penalty of my sin so I could receive that relationship that the speaker was talking about. But then I'd also have to include those individuals that were in the church that I was going to at the time that were so loving to me and acceptable to me and wanted to encourage me when I came to church by talking with me and helping me get involved. But then I'd also have to remember specifically the youth leaders that were there that would bring me into their homes and different activities. And I'd also have to remember the young boys that were in my junior high that decided to invite me to that Sunday school contest and get me going to the church. And of course, you always got to remember the pastor, he sometimes has something to do with it. And the pastor who had preached the sermons faithfully about the importance of trusting Jesus as personal Savior. And by the time I'm done, I realize God has used the body in a wondrous way to bring a young man who is clueless as to how to have a relationship with God to make a decision to trust Jesus as personal Savior. And as you look out over our congregation and we look at what role we might be able to play, it's important to recognize that God has the body working together, working in the identity as we relate to each other, that interdependence, the recognition that I am in this so that I can receive growth and improvement from this body, but also so that I can have an impact in the lives of other individuals. And as you start recognizing that it's not just the role of one individual to lead people to Christ, it's a working of a whole body. And I didn't even mention all the individuals that prayed for me and desired for God to work in my life and how we can work together to accomplish what His goal. And when we truly, first of all, recognize that purpose of believing in Christ and worshiping Him and having a personal relationship with Him. And second of all, recognizing how we are a part of the body to work together as a unit, recognizing our differences, but for the purpose of reaching a common goal of helping people come to know Christ. We recognize then that our membership in His body provides the support for our mission so that we not only have the truth arrow to go into the target, but we also have the team arrow that goes into the target. That we have the truth that we can take Jesus Christ to these individuals and we can be confident in it, but we also have the support of the team to work together. Those individuals that you're concerned about reaching for Christ are not your burden alone. That is to be shared with others, that we can work together as a team to reach individuals for Jesus Christ. The third purpose that we've looked at is this, of becoming like Christ. Called it the walking testimony. Romans 8, 28 and 29 talk about the fact that we are dealing with things that happen to our life, and it says all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. And verse 29 goes on to explain how that works, is that that good is helping us to become conformed into the image of Christ. And that His plan is that we might be able to become like Jesus Christ. And we looked at three things in regard to this. We looked at the picture of how Christ is our model. Christ is the one that we should keep our eyes on. We're so often looking for someone that can be our role model. Someone we can be like. Someone we can copy. And Jesus Christ has given us the model of what we should be like as we look at those various scriptures that talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Talks about what we can add to our lives. Talks about what the Beatitudes are. And we combine those various things and we can see we can have Christ-likeness. And we can make that a pattern of our life. And the exciting thing about that is when we make Christ the pattern of our life and we start looking more like Him, when people see us, they see Jesus. And that's the exciting thing about how our light shines. It is not our light. It is Christ's light shining through us. And it becomes His image that the other people need to see, not ours. And as we also looked at the process of putting off, putting on, renewing the mind, and how God takes us and can change us from some piece of raw product and change us into something useful, that becomes a wonderful testimony of what God can do. Maybe you came into this experience in pretty good shape. Maybe your first coming into the doors to worship, your first time being introduced to Christ or introduced to the church, you came in pretty good. But I got to admit, that was not my story. My story is I came in pretty rough. I came in with a lot of baggage. I came in with a lot of issues. And I can honestly say God has worked through a lot of issues in my life as I have renewed my mind, taking the Scriptures and applied them to my life to where I recognize that's not a good behavior. It needs to go. That's a good behavior that needs to come. And putting off and putting on and renewing my mind. And I can sit and say I have not arrived by any means, but I can also say this, I am nothing like I used to be. I am nothing like what God started with. And that's the exciting testimony that each one of us who have placed our faith in Christ and are in that process of growth, when we are working and changing, we can make it very clear that God has impacted my life. And that becomes a testimony to other individuals that it works. How many people are out there looking at Christianity and wondering, does it really work? You know, there's a lot of great tools out there. It was mentioned about the Passion of Christ with Mel Gibson. It's in a lot of PR and a lot of people are going to it and people are thinking about Christ and etc. But you know, that film is going to be here and gone. But you know what people are going to see day in, day out? It's going to be your life. It's going to be how you are changing, you are growing. I remember the account of the Gadarene demoniac. The individual had the demons within him and Jesus Christ came upon him and the guy is just totally out of his mind and no one would do anything with him. And when he was approached by Christ and Christ cast the demons out and his life changed, he says, I want to follow you. And he says, no, you go back to your friends and let them see the difference that's in your life. When the blind man who was approached by Jesus Christ and was able to see and the Pharisees kept on hounding him and trying to find out, well, who is this guy? What did he do? He says, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. You know, and that's really our testimony. Once I used to be blank, but now I'm this. I used to be in darkness, now I'm in light. I used to be dead, but now I'm alive. I used to be a loser, but now I'm a winner. And recognizing how that God comes in and step by step in the process changes us. And that becomes a testimony for other people to see. It's not just for us. It's not just for us so we can put it up on some kind of a shelf and say, isn't that great how I've grown? No, God has a plan for it, along with the issue of the price. Change costs. James 1, 2, and 3 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. And this patience, it goes on to say, develops the character in your life. Helps you become complete. And that the trials in our life help through this building progress. This process of becoming more like Christ. And it helps us to become tested and genuine. You know those individuals that are out there watching you? Those ones that want to see your light? They're waiting to see how you respond during times of trial. They want to see how long this thing's going to last. You just get in religion for a little while, oh, it'll wear off. And they're just waiting for the time when you'll show your true colors. They're waiting for the time when you'll be back to your old self. They're waiting for the time when you show that God isn't that personal person that you have in your relationship. And God has given us this opportunity to where when we grow, and we grow through that trial and hardship that He might bring into our life, that genuineness of our life becomes that testimony to other individuals. So that purpose of recognizing that God is interested in building character in our life, it's not just so that we can be strong and deal with life. It's not just so that we can be able to uphold the pressures of life and have great disciplines. When the basketball players or the football players or whatever sport they're in, when they're in the gym and they're working hard and they're pumping the iron and they're running all the miles and they're doing all these various things, for the most part, I don't think any of them are just doing it so they can look good. Although that might be a byproduct. They're doing it so they can perform, so that they can accomplish what the team has to do. And folks, that's what we need to recognize too. That the trials and the testing and the things that come into our life isn't just so that we can look good as Christians. Not so that we can look strong, but so that we can be strong for a task of reaching people for Jesus Christ. Of recognizing that the more that I become like Christ, and the more I become a walking testimony, I become more an impact for reaching people for Jesus Christ. Our process of growth to be more like Him provides our message for our mission. The message is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. The message is that Jesus Christ took our place by dying on the cross for our sins, that He's alive and He's making intercession for us, He's preparing a place for us, and that we can spend eternity with Him because He loves us. That's the message. Our message is how that impacts our life. How that we came to a point where we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. What kind of changes have taken place in our life. How that God has sustained us and helped us through various trials. And how the reality of my faith is played out through the hardships that might be there. That becomes my message. That becomes what I can tell other people. I can tell people not only that Christ died for their sins, but I can tell them also that He died for my sins. And this is how He's impacted my life. And this is how He possibly can impact your life if you're willing to place your faith in it as well. You not only have the truth in the target, you not only have the team in the target, but you also have our testimony that's helping hit the target as well. Our fourth purpose that we looked at just last week, and some of you might still remember the things that we talked about in that fourth lesson, building through Christ, using our worthy talents. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, another portion of Scripture, if you would like to turn to that, and I'll read for us Ephesians 4:11 and 12. In this passage, God is talking about the importance of the body of Christ and why He's given certain aspects of the body of Christ. And He talks about why He's given pastors to the body. So you probably wonder, why do we have pastors? Well, here it is, Ephesians 4:11, and God, He Himself, gave some of the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, Blair Ridge Baptist Church doesn't have just one minister. Blair Ridge Baptist Church has a lot of ministers. Because the purpose of the pastor is to equip ministers so they can accomplish the work of the ministry. And we looked at three different words. Remember the three words we looked at last week? The first one was smile. Remember that? And some of you were here. How many were here and won't admit it? Smile. Okay, you got it? That's right. One, two, three. Smile. Okay, the second one was our shape. And the third one was our scope. Those are the three key words, and I'll talk about those briefly and then talk about how this applies to the Great Commission that God has given to us. The first word is the smile. Spiritual maturity involves love's expression. In quick review, God has told us that He wants us to mature, not just so that we can be mature. He wants us to mature so we can minister. God wants us to get that which we need in our life so that we can give out and accomplish certain things for His glory. And it's so important for us to recognize that, because it's such a tendency and such a temptation to say, I want to learn just more, a little bit more. I need to learn more. I need to learn more. Quite frankly, sometimes, folks, we just need to recognize that we need to do more. We need to be more active in serving God. It's the point where we get to where the things we learn become much more precious to us if we're actively using them. When I was in Bible college the first 2 years, I basically studied and was in a sports and a group the first semester. Then I studied and worked for a while. But the third year, I not only studied, but I had the opportunity of going to a church as, in a sense, like an apprentice type thing every weekend. And I started studying, and not just studying, but now serving. And you know what? All the stuff I studied made so much more sense during that time when I was serving. And I started thinking, I can see how I can use this now. This makes more sense. And some of the stuff that I was actually studying, I was actually doing in the church. And it's amazing that when we have an outlet for what we're studying, it becomes all that more precious for us. Those of you that have taught Sunday school, you'll find out that you learn more, even if you're working with little children, you learn more by sitting there and just trying to develop that lesson than if you sat and listened to someone teach that lesson. Because you're desiring to prepare it for someone else. You're giving it out. Spiritual maturity involves love's expression, our expressing of God's love to other individuals. Shape is just five facets of my service. Spiritual gifts, what my heart desires are, my abilities, my personality, my experiences, all put together my shape and help me to see how I can utilize the specialness of myself to serve God. And then the third word was scope, recognizing that it's stewardship, not ownership. Stewardship, that I am basically here to do what God wants, not to do my own agenda. Second of all is the confidence is in Christ, not my own self. Thirdly, I should be thinking about others, not myself. Fourthly, very important, that serving is a privilege. It's a privilege. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to use of God. And we need to keep that in mind, that we might keep ourselves pure and desirous to serve Him and recognize it as a result of our faithfulness, not necessarily as a result of our abilities. And finally, that we may not get so distracted by what other people are doing or not doing that we be engaged in our own ministry, recognizing how that God has given me something to do, that I not be so conscious about what's going on in other people's quadrants of service that I focus and get my part done. We're each given a task. Some of those tasks are interdependent. But we need to recognize what our job is and make sure it gets done. We need to be engaged and focused on what God wants us to do. So when we look at our purpose, number four, building through Christ, recognizing that my gifts, my abilities, everything I have is designed to help that body continue to build and accomplish things, I can recognize that my service to Christ provides the method for our mission, our talents. So it's not just the fact that we have the truth and we have a team and we also have the opportunity of sharing our testimony. We can use the talents of the body working together to accomplish that which will reach people for Jesus Christ, recognizing that we must be doing that. Now, this is an important time to say this, that if we choose not to use the talents that God has given to us for this purpose, basically two things can happen. If we choose not to use our talents, one, we will be like the servant that was given the talent, and he took the talent and he buried it. And when the master came back, he came out with the talent and he said, I was afraid to invest it. I was afraid to do anything with it. Here is it back. And to have the master say, you're a lazy servant. You could have put it in the bank and got more than that. And that could happen, folks, that we could choose not to use our abilities, our gifts, and serve God, and choose not to do anything, and we'll stand before God someday, and He'll say, why didn't you? Why did you bury that? Why did you not use what I've given to you? And the second thing that can happen is that the team may not accomplish what it needs to accomplish without your input. I don't know if you've ever been on a team before that doesn't have all the players really wanting to play. This usually happens in one of those volleyball games, you know? You ever been one of those volleyball games and you all get together and you have people who are really excited about playing and you got some people that were just drugged in to play, you know? They hate playing volleyball. They say, oh, don't worry about it, just stand right here. You want to get them involved in all that stuff, but you know, they don't know what they're doing, they don't want to play, and they kind of got an attitude, and they're just standing there, and the ball comes, and just... Now, the people who really want to play are really getting irritated. You know, because they've come to play, and part of the game is you don't let the ball bounce on the ground. And you're supposed to go after those type of things. And that maybe you can just imagine that, and recognize that there's people in the game, they're not doing anything. And that's the same kind of frustrations we can have in a local church as we recognize individuals who are really serious about reaching people for Christ, and there's others that just want to stand around, don't want to do anything. And it's frustrating for those that really, truly, genuinely want to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so not only may we risk, standing before Christ and having Him say, why didn't you use what I gave you? We risk letting the team down. We risk seeing people who could come to know Christ through the ministry of the church not have that opportunity, not have that blessing. We need to recognize that these work together as we work our talents with one another to accomplish this mission. Fulfilling our purposes in life allows us to fulfill our mission for God. Here's the four arrows that come together. The truth, the team, the testimony, the talents. When you look at all the purposes that have been talked about in this book, you look at what we've discussed in our discipleship classes, our discussion classes, the key thing is it all comes together to hit the target of reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's not to be spent on ourselves. My whole purpose of developing my relationship with God is so that I can reach people for Christ. My purpose for developing a relationship with you folks is so that we can reach people for Christ. My purpose for growing stronger and becoming more like Christ is so I can reach people for Christ. My purpose in using my talents isn't so that I get some attention or I get some satisfaction out of it, but so people can be reached for Christ. In order to do that, that's called building for Christ or bridging for Christ. Bridges are built many times by people who think outside the box. There are people who say, here's the place where I am, this is the place where I need to be. People who can't think outside of where they are don't bridge into where they need to go. And so we need to think outside the box. There's four areas that we need to think outside of. Number one, we need to think outside of the building. The ministry of Jesus Christ takes place mostly outside of this building. People come into the building, yes, we'll share Jesus Christ. We'll go through the gospel just like we did today. We'll share the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know, the greatest impact is outside this building and other people's lives as you meet with them and as you get an opportunity to interact with them when you're talking about the things that God has going on in your life. Many of you might have an opportunity if you're reading The Purpose-Driven Life and ask, what you been doing? I've been reading The Purpose-Driven Life. Well, what's that all about? Well, it opens the door. I got four things going on in my life, and they all point at this one thing. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We must think outside the community. That's what Caleb is doing. Caleb is recognizing that he needs a more of a world concept of what's going on. I didn't realize that. What did you say, Caleb? 5%? 5% of the world's in this country? I hate to think how many are just percentages just in our area that we live in. But we see so focused on it. We out of sight, out of mind. And we need to recognize that in order for us to genuinely accomplish the things God wants us to, we need to think outside of our community and recognize how that we can have an impact outside of that. The third thing, we must think outside of the present life. We must think eternal thoughts. We must think about how things are going to be impacted because of what we're doing. We're excited about what's going on. We're excited about the fact that, you know, the building is going to come up and it tore up ground. That means they're going to build something up, I hope. But, you know, something will come up behind us here and we'll have room back here for more fellowship opportunities, for children and teen ministries and adult ministries and all these types of things. And all that's just right around the corner. We're planning by September to have all that together. But, you know, that's just one little spot in time. What's God got planned beyond that? What are we going to do to get beyond that? What are we going to do to impact people's lives for eternity? And I trust that our goal isn't just to get so much done and say, oh, we've arrived. But instead that we recognize more people need to accept Christ. More people need to be reached through the gospel. We need to think outside of the present life. Fourthly, we must think outside of the old excuses. The old excuses. We've tried that before and it won't work. We have. We try it. Are you going to tell me that that's a valid excuse that you tried something and because you tried it, it didn't work? Where would we be today if everybody quit after they tried something once and it didn't work? You would have no lights in here, folks. You know? Oh, we tried that before. It doesn't work. Nobody will ever learn how to fly. You know, there are things that we've tried in the ministry that maybe the timing wasn't right. Maybe the formula wasn't right. Maybe something just wasn't right. And those who have a genuine desire to think outside the box and think outside of this old excuses recognizes, hey, something can be different. Well, I've talked to that person before. Yeah? How many times did you have to be talked to? Maybe you're one of those ones that the first time you heard it, whoo, whoo, you know. Maybe you're more like me that need to hear it over and over and over and over again. Maybe there's various things that we use as old excuses. Well, I can't talk to people. Moses wanted to use the excuses. Can't talk. Yet God uses individuals who can't talk to win people to Christ. God uses people that can barely have IQs. Can't read. They just physically cannot read. And they can lead people to Christ. God has a way of using us, and we need to put away some old excuses and start thinking outside of them so that we can accomplish things for God. If we're going to bridge, if we're going to accomplish some things, we have to be thinking beyond the things that we've allowed ourselves to be limited. And the whole idea of outreach is just that. Outreach. It's not in, it's out. And as we put these purposes together, I trust that as we took the time to look through this book and study this book and to get the confidence of what our purposes are in life, that folks, that we not fall short and say, oh, wow, I feel so much better about myself now. Oh, I feel so much more confident. I feel like I belong. And just stop right there. We need to use that so we can reach other people for Jesus Christ, so that we can accomplish the mission that God has given us. Not here to build our own little kingdom. We're here to introduce people to the kingdom of Christ. Father, as I come to you in prayer, I thank you for the privilege of being able to utilize the wonderful tools that are out there. I thank you for the purpose-driven life, how it's impacted a lot of different lives. And Father, I ask that you would help us to not just walk away from this study thinking about how much more we love you, which we do, how much more we love each other, which I hope we do, not how much more we feel like we belong, how much more we feel like we're growing, getting some abilities. And Father, help us recognize how much more we're accomplishing what your heart is, what your target is. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Help us, Lord, to have that kind of a heart, that kind of a goal, that kind of a target for our lives, that we might recognize that all these other things that give us great satisfaction of recognizing that we can please you come to one final goal of reaching people for Christ. Father, I thank you for this privilege, and I pray that you will help us as we close our time together, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.